Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Back the other way come the Leafs with a pass in front. They score. Domi with a great feed. McMahon finds Domi in front. With his dad tying attendance, gets Toronto back up by 3, leading 4-1.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. That is your game winner for Toronto. Max Domi's third of the year, 4:27 into the second, put Toronto up 4-1, and they go on to win it 6-3. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro here on the postgame, live in the press box. We'll be heading down to the locker room in a moment. Paul Hamilton awaiting to enter to talk to the players. Pat, to talk about this 6-3 loss. It did get interesting with a few minutes left. Owen Power appeared to score to cut it to 5-4, and the Leafs challenged for goaltender interference. What'd you think of the challenge and the reversal?
I think that's probably the clearest we've seen against the Sabres this year, at least in my mind, of a goaltender interference that was the correct call. There have been other ones where you're left scratching your head, saying, I don't understand how that was goaltender interference. It's unfortunate, but the contact was there. It was in the crease, and that, to me, was the letter of the rule as it's written. So I thought we saw the replay. I think both of us thought that's coming back.
The first replay that we saw from the side looked okay.
Yes.
But then when you saw the overhead and you saw the skate make contact with the stick, and I'll go ahead and say, I don't even know if directly it stopped Murray from making the save, but as you stated, I think correctly, in the blue paint, there was contact. At that point, I mean, everything can go away then at that point, because like that's the rule, right? If you make contact in the blue, then even if we all agree it had nothing to do with the goal going in, that's still going to get called.
It's unfortunate, yeah. Because twice tonight the Sabres had the correct call applied, much like in the first period where we thought Alex Tuch had tied the game 1-1.
Yeah.
But Jason Zucker takes a double minor for high sticking when the linesman sees the high stick happen, had to wait for the play to end, and then goes to the official and they make the call. Both situations were correct. They're unfortunate for the Sabres because it's another one of those where you're just sitting here saying, those are two goals that should have counted. But for a team right now, everything just seems to be going against them. And those two goals could be the difference.
And, you know, it goes to the bigger discussion that we've had for many seasons, is that the league, in terms of what I think it should be doing to promote scoring and promote exciting moments for your fans, I would like them to revisit these rules and these challenges, because I just think it takes away a lot. I mean, look at it. It could have been 5-4 with about, 3:14 to go or so at that
right.
point. Like, you know, it's going to lead to a dramatic finish. And I know that, you know, maybe they say, well, it shouldn't matter if it's 6-0 or 5-4. I get it. It should be called the same. But you are taking away fun moments in the building, and we have seen so many, just even in person here at KeyBank Center this year, Pat, where we've seen goals instantly, and this is not just against the Sabres.
Right.
Because the Sabres have also challenged goals, where we sit here and challenge, and the player, they're like waiting, should we count it, should we not hold on? Oh, wait, we are going to challenge. Then the reviews go, and we're all sitting here scratching our heads saying, well, I'm not sure, not sure, not sure, and then it's a five-minute delay.
Yeah, and you want to balance getting the call right with all this ambiguity and having to go over it multiple times and having to deal with what is, you know, was it offside? Was there contact? Where did it happen? We've seen Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen be in his crease, be contacted, and clearly, to me, he was impeded by the player making the contact, but the goal counted because it was the glove was just outside of the crease. That's the part of it where it needs to be clear if you're going to have these rules.
6-3 Leafs, the final. Paul Hamilton on his way into the Sabre dressing room. We're going to get some reaction right now from Rasmus Dahlin live.
Rasmus, you guys got, it was a 5-1 deficit. You got a couple after that, but what made the deficit for you?
Sorry?
What made that when you get behind 5-1? What were the things that led to that?
Bad decisions. I think we're doing good stuff, and then we do bad stuff, and then we get scored on. So it's frustrating.
Do you feel like you guys lost your composure a bit in the second period?
Sorry?
Do you think that you guys lost your composure a bit in the second period?
No. I think it was bad puck decisions. That cost us a couple of goals, and it just can't happen, especially in the second period.
You got two calls that went against you in that game. Who knows what could have happened if you even get one of those?
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at right now. We score 5, but 2 gets disallowed. So, but we can't. I mean, we can't hang our heads. We did this to ourselves. So, we gotta work.
How did you feel out there? You haven't played a game in a while. You always try to get yourself in game shape, but the games are the games. How did you feel?
I was skating well. My lungs were good. Horrible after win.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Rasmus Dahlin back and healthy, as was Sam Lafferty. Dahlin in this game ends up playing, my goodness, 27-33, Pat. They did not hold him back.
No. He said he felt good, but obviously, as you mentioned, you feel worse than a loss. But for a player who hadn't played for the last couple of games and dealing with the back spasms he was dealing with, we never know if those can flare up on you. Never would have known the difference, and basically played right on the average that through two periods, he got right back to that number by the third.
Back to the room. Let's hear from Matias Samuelsson now live with Paul.
Matias, do you almost feel snake bitten? I mean, two calls that don't go your way in a two-goal hockey game.
Snake bitten, I mean, first one's a penalty, and then I don't know about the second one, but yeah, it's and with what we're going through, it's tough to have obviously two taken away like that. But yeah.
What happened in the second period where you guys wound up getting behind 5-1?
Just shooting ourselves in the foot. Poor puck management. To be honest, I don't think Toronto did anything crazy to beat us. Kind of did it to ourselves. So they're a good team. They have good players. If you feed their transition game, they're obviously going to capitalize. So, just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Did you just get the sense that it was pressing at that point? Just from the group, you guys were pressing after?
Yeah, I actually thought we...
Because after the disallowed goal in the first, you guys finished the first period in a pretty good place. You recovered from that, but at the second period, it just seemed like at a certain point, the pressing began.
I think when you fall behind like that, like, there's only one way to dig yourself out of it. And, there's a lot of pride in this group, and, nobody wants to lose this many in a row. So, just try to dig ourselves out of it and push through it. But, obviously, with the two disallowed, came up a little short.
Does the poor puck management take you out of your defensive structure?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as a D-man, I can't speak for the forwards, but as a D-man, you're trying to get up the ice and join the play, and, all of a sudden it's coming right back at you. It's kind of, hard sometimes, especially when they got, forwards like that re-attacking you. So, that wasn't pretty for sure.
Matthias, you were chasing this game, so that's hard to dig out of, but in general, when you start a game fresh, starting tomorrow even, how do you dig yourselves out of this situation?
I think it's just working as a team more, using each other. I think when we do shoot ourselves in the foot, in the second, it's maybe a little bit of selfish play or, not play that benefits the team. It's more of taking a guy one-on-one and stuff like that when you shouldn't be, and it goes the other way. And I think just working collectively as a five-man unit on the ice.
Thank you, Matthias. Matthias Samuelson in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul, there. Sabres falling 6-3. Matthias Samuelson had a two-point night, Pat. Goal and an assist. Had a nice shot beating Matt Murray there in the top corner on his goal.
Yeah, and the assist, he was the one who put the puck towards the net, kicks off Yuri Kulik's skate, and Owen Power crashes to the front. How often do you have both defensemen crashing towards the net in that play, and it work out, and the Sabres did. So, again, there were some good things they did in this game, but you heard from Samuelson there. The Sabres, a lot of their mistakes are self-inflicted wounds for this team right now, and how do you get yourself out of it? I mean, getting the win, and finally getting a win to end this winless streak will be one way to do it. But then getting things to go in the right direction in multiple games in a row, I think, is the next one after that.
Yeah, Boston-Toronto, quick turnaround, 7 o'clock tomorrow of the C. Foley Law pregame at 6. But, we also discussed a little bit during the intermission, tomorrow the opportunity to go back to Lukanen is there if Lindy Ruff wants it, because Lukanen was pulled early in the second period tonight.
Yeah, so and he'll want to bounce back as quickly as possible. He's going to have that opportunity to do so.
Thank you, Rob. You got it, Rob.
All right. Merry Christmas, Rob.
Merry Christmas, Rob.
And I think for
Rob Ray, everybody. Yeah. Rob, you're still here. The biggest surprise, you're still here in the building? Yeah. What are you doing here?
Ty's here. I gotta go see him.
Oh, okay. All right, back to the room. Rob visiting the room. All right, down to Jason Zucker live.
Jason, you guys got a couple of rough breaks in that game, whether it was the high sticking or the call in the third period in the crease.
Yeah, it just seems to be the way it's going.
Do you feel like Murphy's Law right now, anything that can go wrong will go wrong? I mean, just two goals called back and odd situations sometimes.
Yeah, I think you got to earn your breaks, and we're not doing that right now.
How shocked were you by the situation in the first period?
I've never seen that before, to be honest. I don't know what else to say. It's something I've never seen happen.
Jason, how do you guys bounce back, ahead of your game tomorrow night, going on, two games in a row?
We're in the NHL. We don't have a choice. We got to be ready to play.
So when you have the poor puck management, does that take you out of your defensive structure then when that happens?
Yeah, it does. We got to make better decisions with the puck and make sure that we're helping each other out. If you're going for an offensive play and you're expecting someone to make a certain play and they don't, and it gets turned over, you're typically in a bad defensive spot. So you got to be careful.
Are you surprised that was a double minor on that play, or even just a
I'm
minor
not gonna
penalty?
Comment on the play. I'd rather not get fined.
Did you get any explanation?
No.
The second period, just what did you make of the way that it just went so badly for the group so quickly there? Because even after the bad call on the first, it's not like you guys finished the first period poorly. Just that in the second, it just seemed like that's when it started to unravel again.
Yeah, we got away from our game. We had a good game plan. We were following it in the first, and we decided we wanted to try to do something different in the second. For whatever reason, it didn't work.
Jason, I know you say this is the NHL and you got to move on, but how does this group find confidence to be able to come back the next day and try to break this drought?
You got to earn confidence, and by to in order to do that, you got to do the right things consistently. You got to do it every night, and you got to come ready to play. And when you start making the right plays and doing the right things, you earn confidence. And we're not doing that right now.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul. Jason Zucker there. Yeah, I mean, that was a swing moment in the game. McCann scores 129 into the contest. Leafs are off and running, but a minute five later, the Sabres tie it. On a nice setup, Zucker finds Tuck, but then the goal's disallowed. Now, if you're wondering, like, what was the delay there, the linesmen are allowed to call high sticking, but for whatever reason, again, it's the NHL, so try and figure it out. They can't blow the whistle. They have to wait for the play to stop. Well, the puck ends up going into the net. You know, why they can't blow the whistle? If they're allowed to call the penalty, why can't they blow the whistle when the Sabres touch the puck? Who knows? It's the NHL. Another rule that I just, you know, common sense would say makes absolute no sense. But that's why there was a delay there, if you're wondering. Now, there was also some explanation from the league later that they put out that said they thought maybe there was an injury on the play, which is concerning, because if they thought there was an injury, then you'd think they would have stopped it sooner, but they let it go all the way through to the goal. So I don't understand how that meshes either way, but nevertheless, the Sabres did score five times tonight. Two of them were taken off the board. Again, the second one that was disallowed late, when Power scored, when we got the overhead look and we saw Lafferty go through the crease, there was definite contact with his skate and Murray's stick. Now, in my opinion, I don't think it impeded him from making the save. It was up high above his shoulder. So I don't think it had really anything to do with it. Had it beat him low, you know, stick side or five hole where you can put the stick out, like, okay, I'll listen to that. But anyway, the definition, though, says if you're in the blue, at least we've learned that at least a little bit more clear this year. If you're in the blue and you make any contact, even if it's literally, you know, breathing on the uniform, if it moves, there's a good chance now it's going to get called back. So that's some of the thing. And if it's outside of the blue, remember we've seen the Sabres challenge that, and they got burned by it on earlier, back in November. So it's the in the blue, out of the blue kind of thing that is maybe made it a little bit more clear. It's still not a very clear rule for sure. I am for the league, again, addressing this in this offseason. Please figure out a way for more goals to count. Goalies, I know if you're a goalie out there listening, you hate to hear this, but you're on the ice too. You have to, in my opinion, work a little bit harder here. I'm not saying it should be a free-for-all at goalies. I don't think they should be run at or hit or anything like that on purpose. But, you know, you come out there and you make contact and it doesn't have anything to do with the goal. I want it to be more of an on-ice judgment thing there. These reviews, tonight wasn't terrible in terms of the length, but you know you've been in buildings where we sit here and the delay becomes 3 minutes and then it's 4 minutes and then 5 minutes and then we all sit here confused and, you know, you got 50 people saying this and then the other 50 people saying this and then at the end we're all confused. And, of course, not a lot of explanation from the official. I don't still understand why there can't be more explanation from the official, but, you know, that's been a pet peeve of mine forever. You have all these people in the building. Okay, Lindy Ruff is now live. Let's head down to the media room.
Lindy, first period I've seen wasn't the worst period I've ever seen you play, but it seemed like you got to the second and all of a sudden it fell apart. What was the difference?
Just how heavy they were on pucks. You know, some of the ozone stuff was really hard. From the first to the second, I thought the first we broke the puck out really good. What hurt us was a bad decision on the first goal and just puck play on a couple other ones just killed us. We're not a good team at chasing the game. Like, as soon as we start chasing the game and putting risk, we expose ourselves too much.
Experienced guys to be difference makers. How disappointing is it just to see
the response, especially from some of your more
experienced guys? Well, you know, I think you look at right off the bat, the response to the first goal that our veteran line went out and got a goal, but I mean, I didn't see the high stick. I just looked at it now, trying to jump by the guy and clips him in the face. And we've talked about the penalties. I mean, it's hard when you're jumping by someone. You're trying to control your stick.
How snake bit do you feel when a play like that happens?
I think we've pretty well had every scenario now covered off. I mean, we bounce right back. That line goes out, scores the would have been the tying goal. It goes the other way, a double major, double minor. We're going, excuse me. We've almost got the penalty killed, and we had three failed clears that, again, you know, when you don't get it down the ice, it's going to kill you.
Ukapeka tomorrow.
Yeah, well, for sure. This isn't about UPL. Really, let's be serious. He is exposed to pretty high quality. This is on our group.
How hard is that for a goalie two games in a row now, where it's just not on him? It's the guys in front of him letting him down.
Yeah, well, when you're in this position and you're trying to play a real aggressive game, if you have one bad read, we're giving up an odd numbered situation. And I said, as soon as we start to press or put more risk, we're a team that hasn't been able to get by creating versus what we give up.
With the bad puck decisions, does that take you out of your defensive structure right away then usually?
Well, some of the bad decisions that we couldn't get people off the ice. If you look at a couple of goals, we couldn't get people off the ice. So you make bad decisions, whether it's at the blue line or we had a couple of plays in the second period where we're in front of our own net. Just get rid of the puck. Get it in the next zone and let's play.
At the end of last season, Lindy, we heard about how too many guys in this group were too comfortable straying from game plans and stopped doing the right things. You can't bench everybody. So what's it like trying to attack that problem? Because it's a problem that's really bothered you guys throughout this skid.
It really has. And there's such a fine line right now about allowing these guys to gain some confidence. They're teetering, obviously. I know that. We got some young guys that I want to just play. I need them to play. I mean, you look at what they brought inside the game tonight. I thought we had some guys that really skated well, but for all the good we did, we ended up beating ourselves. Thanks.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on the post game and his press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. He's right. He says there's that fine line with allowing guys to gain confidence. They're teetering. It's like, I need the young guys to play. You know, obviously, you know, this team's not winning the Stanley Cup this year. So can you figure out what do you have in Jiří Kulík? You know, what can be the next part of the development of Owen Power? You know, some of these younger players here that the Sabre, you know, where is Peyton Krebs going to fit in all this mix over time here? Zach Benson continuing to grow. So I think I see where Lindy's at. You know, there's mistakes, there's decision-making, there's the puck decisions that are getting them in trouble, but at the same time, you know, as the question stated there, you can't just start benching everybody. The accountability can be there, but at the same time, you know, you need to let them fight through it too. But the Sabres aren't good enough right now to be able to overcome those mistakes. So, you know, Lindy is in a tough spot, for sure. And he's got his work cut out for him. This team is now winless in 12, 0-9-3 in this stretch. And they've got a tough one tomorrow against Boston. And then they play the Islanders on Monday. So this is a 3-game-and-4-night stretch. I think tonight, sensing that Lukanen just didn't maybe have his A game, also giving a chance to maybe kind of wake up the guys, call a timeout. You know, well, since you get a timeout by pulling the goalie there for a few seconds, I think that, you know, that's the move, and now you can come back and you can go back to Lukanen tomorrow, and possibly you can also then think about him playing Monday too, assuming that the Boston game doesn't just, you know, really, really wear him out. And then they have the Christmas break. So, and look, they need Lukanen to be great to win. They've wasted some games this year where Lukanen's been great. The Minnesota game when they lost 1-0, this is what started that whole losing skid. After they won on the California trip, won those three games, they get Minnesota and, you know, end up losing there. That was a 1-0 game. you know, you flip that, who knows? Vancouver's an overtime game. Who knows if you can flip that? But tonight, Toronto, to me, still was the better team. But I will say you got to give the Sabres at least a little credit in the sense that, I mean, we're sitting here waiting for a goaltender challenge call, and it's 5-4 on the board with just over 3 minutes to go. So despite Buffalo, I think, having a very, very poor second period again, still having some terrible coverage issues, and despite not getting the best from their goalie tonight, for a moment it looked like it was going to set up for a dramatic finish. How bad have the second periods been this year? Sabres have been outscored 47-29 during that stretch, during that second periods this year. Not good. There's one of your final stats of the game, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shots end up 29-27 in favor of the Leafs. Lukanen made 9 saves on 13 shots. Reimer stopped 14 of 15. Matt Murray gets the win, 24 saves tonight. Sabres go 0-2 on the power play. Leafs 1-2. Your power play update, your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. The announced attendance, 18,267. So a little short of a sellout here, and of course a ton of them Leafs fans in the building. Nylander is star 3, Domi is star 2, McCann star number 1. Boston is tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Steve Foley Law pregame at 6, and at this time, we're going to say goodbye and goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening, you can go WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take, get Pat's scoreboard. We'll update you on the standings as we get you set for this Bruins game tomorrow as well. But tonight goes to the Leafs, Toronto 6, Buffalo 3, the final. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com.
La 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 la.
La 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 Blinds.com.
DIY or let us install.
La 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 la.
La 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 Blinds.com.
Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
La, 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 Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
On the far wall, Nylander looking for Pacioretty. Sabres break it up, but the Leafs get possession back again. Tavares, left side, sends it in front and tipped right on by Nylander. And Reimer in a good position to make that stop. No rebound.
James Reimer coming in, stopping 14 of 15. That one, Dan Dovellini beyond the call. Your save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 6-3 Leafs, the final. By the way, if you missed, if you maybe just got in your car now, Rob Ray came in and I'll say politely interrupted our broadcast with his nice, loud Christmas message spirit. And yelled to Pat and I here in the booth to have a good Christmas. So, Rob, I know you're in your car now, so if you're listening, Merry Christmas back at you there. And Dan, you as well. Have a safe trip to Boston. We'll hear from Dan tomorrow on the call, of course, with the Sabres and the Bruins. Let's go down to Paul Hamilton now, though, and get his thoughts on this game. Paul, the Sabres, I did not think necessarily were the better team here tonight, but there were some moments that had maybe... they just made a better decision here or there, taking a penalty less here or there. It could have been very interesting in the end.
Well, you've been with me long enough. You've heard me say this, and it's a such a simple statement that I learned from Dave Burkholder when we were both at Niagara. Your best players have to be your best players, and there just haven't been enough of that lately. Yes, the Thompson line did come through right afterwards, but you wound up with a high-sticking penalty, and the goal didn't count. After that, I'm sorry, they just weren't your best players, even close. And they have to come through for you, especially when you make the game, you know, a 5-3 game. And, yeah, you had two calls go against you. Quite honestly, I think they were right on both calls. But still, you know, you earned those goals that you scored. I mean, the one by Power, you know, you've got guys, a bunch of guys going to the net. And unfortunately, I don't mind Lafferty being around the net. His skate caught a stick. What are you going to do? But I like guys around the net like that. And I think more times than not, you're going to come away with goals and not goaltender interference when that happens. But it's just, I think, too much as we look through this where your best players just aren't your best players. And they've got to find their way and they've got to find their confidence. And they have to find ways to produce, because Lindy Ruff said in the morning skate that he got together with his leaders, or it might have been yesterday after practice, whatever, in the last 2 days, that he got together with his leaders. And I'm sure by leaders he meant his four captains and some veterans, and just said, you know, I'm passing the puck to you guys. You guys have to, you know, get this team on your back and show them the way. And I just didn't see that.
Including the goaltender, Paul, tonight. Now, Lukanen during this stretch to me is not near the top of any of the reasons why maybe they're on this losing streak. But he tonight, definitely, I thought, you know, especially, what was it, the third goal from Robertson, the shot from the circle, that one, he's got to stop and keep Buffalo in it because Paterka scores on the next shift. I mean, that could have obviously then maybe be a little different swing there too.
Yeah, that's the one that you don't like that went through his legs. But, you know, I agree with Lindy Ruff. This whole thing isn't about Lukanen, and he's going to come right back with him tomorrow, as I would too. You could say, too, the goal with Domi coming down the slot, that's not an easy save. Domi's wide open, but I've seen Lukanen make that save before. Just come up with the big save at the big time. You know, so those would be the two things I'd be talking about with him. The rest of it was just layups, and you know, nothing he can do about that. I mean, his teammates have basically hung him out for how many games now? I can't even count them. And you know, Matias Samuelsson was rightfully talking about their puck management, and that's the thing. When your puck management is that bad, it takes you right out of your defensive structure. Because you're not playing a defensive structure then. You're coming up ice, or you're on the forecheck or something like that, and then you turn the puck over. Now you're out of structure. You know, you're not in defensive structure, and you're all scrambling. And then you're running around, and then it's in your net. And you have wide-open guys, and it's 3-on-1 or 2-on-1 or whatever it may be. And that's why, you know, they can't get into their defensive structure because of the bad puck management. And it's just a vicious circle. How they get out of it, Jason Zucker, I think, said it perfectly. You've got to earn your way out of it. You know, he was pretty disgusted. He said, look, we're in the NHL. You know, nobody's, you know, we got to find the way to get out of it. And to find a way to get out of it is, you know, to make better decisions with pucks.
And that will make you more confident, and that will help you get goals, and that will help you keep goals out of your net. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't say it exactly like that. But,
right.
You know, he's been through this. He knows what it takes. And, they're, you know, the first period, as I told you after the end of the first, it wasn't the worst first period I've ever seen him play. They were down 2-0. They had scored a goal, but unfortunately there was a double minor high-sticking penalty. They could have maybe gotten out of there 2-1. But now you come to the second period, and it blows up in your face. Yeah, you got a couple of goals in the second period, but what did I write? It's approximately like 47 goals to 30 now that they've been outscored in the second period and given up 7 goals in the last 2 second periods. And that's just unacceptable. And, you know, where are your leaders? Where are your guys that you can, you know, can help you get out of that and can put the team on their backs and help them? And they're just nowhere to be found.
Paul, just maybe to educate the listeners a little here, when you talk about puck decisions, especially in their own end, I remember us having conversations about Ralph Krueger back when he was the coach and how you thought and many thought that maybe the Sabres were thinking too much defensively and that he kind of wanted them to think, you know, about their decisions, and we never saw maybe the best of Rasmus Dahlin there. We know Lindy Ruff in his first tenure, I remember him saying he's always promoted his defensemen to, you know, if you see a play that you can help offensively, go ahead. Now, the defensive pairings that Lindy had back in his first stint, Paul, were stronger in the sense that it felt like there was always that match. Like, you had that guy that was willing to jump in, but then you also had that guy that was always going to have his back on the other side. Now, obviously, they're trying to maybe find these matches, or maybe they don't even have guys that can play perfectly with Dahlin or perfectly with Byram or perfectly with Power here. What do you think Lindy Ruff really wants them to do? Like, what's the mentality decision-wise defensively coming out of their own zone? Like, what are you seeing in practice? What are you hearing from him, I guess, to maybe just educate everybody on the quote, puck decision-making that we're hearing right now?
Well, sometimes the easiest play is the simplest play. As he mentioned, talking about this today, he goes, you know, you're in front of your net with the puck. Get it to the next zone. But if you turn the puck over, now you can't change. So now you're stuck. Now you're hemmed into your zone. Now the shift is really overextended because you just didn't do the simple play. You tried to make some other goofy play, you know, right in front of your own net, and it gets picked off. Now the other team is, you know, again on the forecheck, and now you've got to make another play. Now you're stressed out in your defensive zone coverage. You're basically out of your coverage because you've given the puck away. Now you're running around. Now you're chasing them around the rink. And when this team starts chasing teams around the rink, it's in their net. So just as he was talking about, just do the simple play there. Get it to the next zone and get a change. You know, live to play another game, another, I want to say down, we're not playing football, but live to play another shift, I guess, is the right thing to say here. You know, and just their puck management just takes them right out of structure, so, you know, then they can't play good defensive hockey and kill plays and then get up ice and get into your offensive structure then and get in on a forecheck and get people to the net. You know, you take yourself out of that because you make such poor puck decisions that you know, it just winds up in your net.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game. Toronto beating Buffalo 6-3. Let's talk injury report now. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health's St. Joseph campus. Go with Joe's. Two players return tonight. Sam Lafferty ends up coming back, and of course he is involved on that goaltender challenge. I'll get Paul's take on that in a moment. Rasmus Dahlin returns. 27:33 of ice time, 5 shots, 11 shot attempts in the game. Paul, how about a quick thought on Dahlin's return, and then I want to ask you about the last goaltender interference call that took the fourth Sabre goal off the board.
If we're talking about things I like, I thought Dahlin was okay in this game, especially coming back. I don't think he made bad puck decisions for the most part. Yeah, and I like Matias Samuelsson since he's been back. Not just because he had 2 points tonight, but I think defensively he's killed plays very well. He's used his angles and his size very, very well. You know, kind of getting back to playing the way he was when he was younger and before the injury. So you would hope at least that part of his game continues to play well. I really, since he's been back, I think he's done well. And if I could just make a hockey comment here, because I have it on in front of me, the Dallas Stars are playing the New York Rangers. Rempe is an absolute clown show. He is a clown show. I mean, the New York Rangers think we're in the 1970s with that clown. He just left his skates, hit the Dallas Stars' best defenseman from behind. He got tossed out of the game. He just got called up from the minors. Laviolette's having a stroke. And it's just like he is an absolute clown show. Why the New York Rangers think they need that clown? He's not good enough to be in the East Coast League, yet the National Hockey League. And I watch this garbage, and it should have been out of the game back in the 70s, and I don't know why the New York Rangers are trying to bring it back in.
Rangers have fallen out of a playoff spot. We know they made a trade yesterday, too, so they're heading in the wrong direction. Paul, real quick, the goal that Power appeared to score to make it 5-4, wiped off the board. Did you agree with that call that it was taken off?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did, you know, he didn't mean to kick the stick, but he did, and it interfered with Murray coming across the crease. But if I'm his coach, I'm not going to get on his back. I want him around the crease. I want him around the net. I want the Sabres around the net. And if you happen to get in the goalie's way and you get a goalie disallowed, so be it. I would not get in Lafferty's face at all if I were his coach. It happened. He didn't mean for it to happen, but they need to get people around the net. They need to get players around the net. And, you know, Lafferty, to me, was just doing his job. Unfortunately, the skate did hit the stick. It was, you know, inadvertent, but it happened. If I'm his coach, I'm fine. Be at the net.
Yep. Paul, let's finish by looking ahead at tomorrow. The Bruins right back at it. Boston has not played tonight, so they'll be a little bit more rested. But it does look like Lindy's going to be able to go back to Lukanen tomorrow.
Yeah, he said he's going to go back to him. Unfortunately for the Sabres, the Bruins were a tire fire for a lot of the beginning of the year, but they've gotten it together a little bit. And unfortunately for the Sabres, this is their first game against the Bruins. They never caught him during the tire fire.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow in Boston.
Bruins have now taken wild card one. They have 38. They're actually tied with Tampa for the third spot in the Atlantic. So a minus 19 goal differential, you're right. They've been and having trouble scoring, too. The Sabres actually have 8 more goals scored than the Bruins do.
It seems to me, I'm trying to think back, their goal differential was even a lot worse.
Yes.
It was one of the worst in the
Eastern
Conference.
It's like minus 33, I feel like, at one point.
Yeah, so they just played better hockey. Swayman, I would imagine, is playing better hockey if they're doing better. He had a bad start. He wasn't in camp. You know, it was the contract thing. So I'm sure they're getting better goaltending, but you know, they're going to face a much better Boston Bruin team now than they would have faced a month or two ago.
That's right. Paul, thanks for your work tonight. We will talk on the Steve Foley Law pregame tomorrow at 6.
Okay, talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here. Bruins tomorrow in Boston, then the Islanders on Monday, both road games. Next home game is a week from tonight. The 27th against Chicago. And Connor Bedard and the Hawks will be in town. Okay, let's see what's going on elsewhere. Pat, you ready here?
I am.
Let's check out the scores here as we go around the NHL.
It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. There's still a couple of games ongoing. The one that Paul just mentioned a moment ago with the Rangers, despite Rempe's actions on the ice, has New York still out in front 2-1 in the third period. All three goals coming in the opening stanza. Roope Hintz opening the scoring for Dallas, but then Vincent Trocheck, one of the two goals for New York, helping the Blue Shirts out to that 2-1 lead with 11:09 to go in the third period. 6:03 left to go in the third as well in Minnesota, where Dylan Gunther has scored twice for the Utah Hockey Club. They lead the Wild 2-1. Again, just about 6 minutes to go there. While out west, the last game to start tonight was in Anaheim. The Ducks and Avalanche are scoreless. The Canadiens score twice in the third period to defeat the Red Wings 4-3. And what else is new? Patrick Laine, since joining the lineup for the Canadiens, has had a goal for Montreal tonight in that victory. The Blues fall to the Panthers 2-1 in overtime, while the Capitals 3-1 winners over the Hurricanes as well. And one note from college football, as the college football playoff has begun, round one underway, the first round, and number 7 Notre Dame hosting 10th-ranked Indiana, and the Fighting Irish have a 17-3 lead over the Hoosiers right now. They're about 5.5 to go in the third quarter. Notre Dame driving in the red zone on the verge of going up by three scores. But again, the first of four games this weekend, three tomorrow as well. And then the winners will take on the top four seeds coming up and right around New Year's.
Yeah, it looks like Notre Dame may go in here and really take control. SMU, Penn State's the early game tomorrow. I want to say noon maybe even.
I believe you're right.
Yes, and then I know Ohio State, Clemson is the late game. Ohio State, Tennessee. And then Clemson, Texas is in between there, right, too?
Yeah.
So three more games tomorrow. A couple of those earlier on TNT, and then the late game is ESPN. And then we have NFL tomorrow, too.
Three games.
They're huge for the Bills.
Yeah, you've got the Texans playing the Chiefs, and maybe somewhat of a surprise, maybe not, depending on, you know, Patrick Mahomes' durability dealing with that ankle injury he's going to play. So something Bills fans will keep an eye on is the quest for the one seed is still out there. You've got some ground to make up on the Chiefs, but an opportunity to maybe get some of that back.
Yeah. I mean, the high ankle sprain, we know, you know, we'll see how can he get through it tomorrow, whatever, but the Chiefs find ways to win games. I've not been impressed with the Texans lately, so Kansas City wins tomorrow. Then they're one Bills loss or one win away from clinching the one seed. There's part of me that's thinking, just get this over with. So if you're going to – I guess my thought is, you know, if you're going to get the one seed, let's just do this quickly so the Bills can maybe sit their guys in the last 2 weeks or half rest, half play, whatever you need to do to keep them, quote, ready, but at the same time limit the injuries. The Bills in general are pretty healthy compared to the rest of the league at this point, which hadn't been the case these last few seasons, Pat. They've gone into the playoffs. Remember how their defense had been so banged up. But in general, they're doing pretty good with these kind of these long-term injuries. So the opportunity's there. Also, too, there's this argument, too, that of course you want the one, but there's one team that I want them to avoid, and that's Baltimore. I think I'd be fine with them playing Pittsburgh, Houston, Denver, the Chargers. If somehow Indy or Miami got in, I'd be fine with any of those. The one team I do not want them to play is Baltimore. If you're the one, there's a chance in round two you're more likely to play the Ravens if they end up as a wild card, because they would, you know, then Pittsburgh's the three. Although, if Baltimore wins tomorrow, maybe they become the three. So maybe you want the one. I don't know. Tomorrow's going to help us tell a lot.
Yeah. I wouldn't put myself into a mathematical pretzel or a logistical pretzel just yet, because I think if you're the Bills, you're going to have to either beat the Ravens or you're going to have to beat the Chiefs. You're going to have to beat a team that, you know, the Chiefs you've not been able to beat in the playoffs yet. I know what the Ravens did to the Bills earlier this year. They look like a different team also. I know Lamar Jackson put up a huge day against the Giants. We'll see over these final couple of weeks. This is a big one against the Steelers. Always those classic AFC North rivalry games that are such like throwback games of what the NFL used to be, so to speak. And we'll see. I also think you talk about the one seed and the bye. Well, the Bills are pretty much they're pretty much guaranteeing themselves either a majority of the starters probably sitting week 18 or getting the bye week. And getting the one seed, because you're probably, if you're the one, that means it went down to week 18, right, and then you're getting the rest week. So the starters are going to have to rest at some point. They'll get it whether it's the end of the regular season or by some chance that one seed bye.
Yeah. It's fun to try to figure out the combinations. But tomorrow we'll get a decent amount of information with that Chiefs-Texans game and that Ravens-Steelers game.
There's even a scenario, right? The Broncos could miss the playoffs. If they were to lose their next two because of the loss to the Chargers last night.
There was some talk on our station today about, wait, the Bengals can still make it? Yeah.
To me, that's the team.
Yes. That, to me, is the Rams game scenario all over again. You play Cincinnati in the first round. Could you see it being 44-42 and believing it? Yes.
Yes.
I think, and you'd be worried about that matchup.
Yes, even though the Bills would be at home.
Right.
So that's like, you know, there's still 3 weeks left. You know, see if the Chiefs pick up the win tomorrow, it starts becoming more of a moot point about the one seed. So then you can start to look at some of those other matchups as probably the two.
All right. So Sports Talk Saturday tomorrow starting at 11. A lot on the Bills, and obviously we'll be on with the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6, getting you up to the Sabres and the Bruins at 7, and then the Islanders Monday, and then the Christmas break before Chicago here, and then of course Bills coverage all day on Sunday here on our flagship on WGR.
I will not be with you on tomorrow or Monday, so Merry Christmas to you and the listeners out there.
Thank you, Pat. Merry Christmas to you. Always appreciate everything you do here for me at KeyBank Center, and keeping Paul and I in line. I know it's the toughest job in the building.
I try. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Pat. All right. Merry Christmas to everybody out there, but we still got a couple games before then. Let's take a timeout here from KeyBank Center. Toronto winning by a score of 6-3 in front of a lot of Leafs fans, for sure. When we come back, we will get you set up to hear from the Sabres general manager. Kevin Adams joined Chopin the Bulldog earlier today. He talked about the Terry Pegula meeting with the team, what he thought maybe it meant. Talked a little bit about trades and obviously this winless streak as the Sabres now are winless in 12 as they fall to Toronto here tonight. Back with more postgame here from KeyBank Center in a moment right here on WGR and the Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Final segment here on our postgame show as the Sabres fall to the Leafs by a score of 6-3. Tomorrow, we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show at 6 o'clock as we get you set for the Sabres and the Bruins. Buffalo with two road games before the Christmas break in Boston Saturday, on Long Island against the Islanders on Monday. And then, of course, they'll have the three-day league-wide mandatory break before they come home for their next game here at KeyBank Center on December 27th against Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks. All right, we want to give you this interview from earlier today. If you missed it, Sabres general manager Kevin Adams spoke on our flagship on WGR with Chopin the Bulldog just before the game tonight, obviously talking about the winless streak, talking about some of the injuries and how he's been dealing it, and of course, trades and how Kevin Adams is approaching things, and Terry Pegula meeting with the team in Montreal, how that all played out, and what Kevin Adams thought the message may have meant. So all that here with Chopin the Bulldog. Hope you enjoy the interview here from earlier today with the Sabres general manager.
We have started a little bit later than we wanted with Kevin Adams, who joins us on the West Her Hotline. Kevin, happy holidays, and thanks for your patience. Sorry we're a few minutes late.
Yeah, no problem. Happy holidays, guys.
Thank you. The losing streak and, you know, the many years. Would you maybe just to start our conversation together, like the floor? You know, fans are probably largely in a pretty tough place with the team. Do you want to tell them how you feel and, you know, maybe explain why you think things haven't been going better?
Yeah, I mean, I can start by saying, trust me, I'm as frustrated and more frustrated than anyone. And I can tell you that the coaching staff has been putting a lot of work in trying to come up with solutions. It's been a lot of honest conversations back and forth with players, between from me to players, players to coaches, players to players. We care. And it's a frustrating stretch. You know, I can look at our California trip where you know, we didn't play perfect, but we found ways to win. You know, you battle a 1-0 game in L.A., you go to Anaheim and you find a way in overtime, and then, you know, I think we probably got outplayed the San Jose game, and Reimer, you know, has an amazing game, and feels like since we got home after that trip, we found ways to lose. And in this league, that's the it can turn one way or the other quick, and it's a challenging time right now, that's for sure.
Kevin, something I find myself wondering about over the last couple of weeks here, when you spoke, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, if I'm not mistaken, about, you know, the difficulty in acquiring players and no movement clauses and all that, and the frustration that is evident with that situation. You're obviously signaling that you would like to make moves, and that means change some guys out here. I wonder if you think about, like, how that lands on the players. And then I'm sort of coupling that with Terry Pegula's appearance in Montreal. And, I mean, we weren't in the room, but reportedly what was said is that, you know, stay the course, we believe in you. And I'm struggling to rectify those things jiving. Like, the owner saying, we believe in you, we're going to get it done, and you standing up 2 weeks ago and saying, I can't acquire players because they don't want to waive their no-move clauses.
Well, I can start with the first on, you know, acquiring players. You know, we want to strive to become a destination franchise. The point I was making was that we have to earn that. The way you become a destination franchise is you get in the playoffs, you compete year after year, you give yourself a chance to win Stanley Cups, and that's what we're in the process of working towards. So, you know, part of the other thing for me is my job is to look at every possible scenario to help our team get better. And if there's anything that we can do, we're going to be open to doing it. And that's simply, you know, doing the job. So that's a focus. And, you know, on the second part of your question in regards to Terry, you know, I think this is what's hard for you guys. I got to be honest, whether it's you guys in the media or fans, a lot of what you hear out there, it just isn't true. Terry came to Montreal because he cares. He loves his team. He wanted everybody to know how much he cares. And, you know, I'm not going to share with anyone what was said inside that room, but what was reported wasn't accurate. So I can leave it at that. But, you know, he keeps saying it over and over. He's as engaged as he's ever been. He cares. He wants to help us get through this, and that's what we're working towards.
I respect you not wanting to reveal specifically what was said. Can you at least give us a clue? Like, if it wasn't stay the course, we believe in you, was it more like rattle the cage, that you guys are better than this? Like, was it encouraging at least?
Well, like I said, I just don't think it's
okay.
But honestly, I understand the question, Bulldog, but I just don't want to get into specifics. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, he went there because he believes in this group and he cares. But what was portrayed after was just not accurate. And I just don't want to get into specifics. I don't think anyone needs to know.
Is it discouraging, Kevin, like what happened after? I mean, that game was, at least you're getting away from Buffalo where the crowds have been antsy and, you know, the losing streak. You go to Montreal, a very beatable team, get down right away. I think whatever was said, you'd always want, whether it's a coach or an owner or anybody else, you'd want to see your team respond to the interaction. And I don't know, like what happened,
Tuesday night.
That was a tough night. You know, you get down early in the game, and you know, when you're in tough stretches, guys, you know, you gotta fight your way out of it. And I thought, you know, the 20 seconds into the game, the puck hits the rest foot, goes on the guy's tape, and they get a good break. And you can't let that, you know, break you in some ways. You gotta fight through those things, and all of a sudden, 21,000 people are amped up and they're getting rolling, and we didn't answer, you know, so that's not good enough. But yeah, it was a disappointing night.
With Kevin Adams, so you're 26 points in 32 games, 50 games left. I don't know, to get to 90, you'd need 64 here, 29, 15, and 6. I did this earlier, I'm just not winging it, would be one such record. Do you think, now, I guess we're asking the same question almost here, or I am, but is the team you have capable of, like, that high of a ceiling, in your opinion? Because the rest of the question is, like, would just be like, well, changes again, and I don't want to have you repeat yourself. I just wonder how optimistic you can be for the team you have for the rest of this year.
Well, I look at this stretch, and, you know, it's challenging to go through this, but you can come out stronger on the other side of these things. You can let these types of experiences and adversity, you can break you or it can make you better. So I believe we have a lot of talent in the locker room. And, you know, you look at this stretch of games, there's been a lot of these games, one-goal games, just finding ways to lose, like I said. And if you flip it around, we had won 7 and 9 before, you know, so like we're capable of winning hockey games and going on runs. But it's almost too much, guys, to like almost answer the question on a macro level. I really shrink it down to let's just start with, you know, shift after shift, period, then the second period and the third period, and now you chalk up a game and you get a win and you get a good game, and then you go to the next one, you know. And I think that really has to be our focus, and really the only way out of this.
Kevin, something else I'm curious about. You know, we hear hockey, I don't know how much you hear or read, you know, about criticism of the team, but to our ears in here, it is often, and I'm not saying this is necessarily right, but fans get to effort a lot. really quick. It's almost a knee jerk. And we find ourselves sometimes sort of fending that off because I don't know what's inside a player's head or their heart or whatever. And I think it's very hard watching even in person to discern whether someone's giving everything they have. But with all that said, I wonder about the commitments you've made and the early commitments you made to some of your young core here and whether or not you feel like you maybe made some young guys comfortable a little too early.
Well, I think you've heard me say in the past that I don't take any signing, any contract trade, any of these things lightly. These are big decisions. But when you focus specifically on especially longer term contracts, I've talked over the years about a couple things. One, do we have a player that truly wants to be here and loves being part of this organization and loves being part of this city? And then the second thing I look at, are they players that are going to continue to do the work and get better? So I can pound the table and tell you guys I feel as good as I've ever felt about the group of players that are signed to longer-term deals, that they care and they're doing the work and they want to get better. Now, is there ups and downs and has there been inconsistencies? For sure, there has. But I wouldn't put it on that. And, you know, when you're in a situation where we had to kind of reset things going back 4 years, you start to identify who players are that you can build around. You need to make commitments at young ages now. You're seeing more of it across the league. And you're buying prime years. And I believe that you build through the draft, you develop players, you get your own players in your system. I think it's a benefit down the road, and we're still in that process of earning that.
Just a few more minutes here with Kevin Adams, Sabres and Leafs tonight. What is the what has been the effect of not having Dahlin here for some of this? And it sounds like what he's been battling goes back to before the season maybe even started. What has been, not asking you for injury specifics exactly, but just sort of what has been the struggle there with him and what is the outlook?
Yeah, it's hard, and I don't want it to sound like an excuse, because every single team in the league, you deal with injuries and you have to have the next man up mentality. You just do, because this is part of the game and part of what every team goes through. But you know, you take someone like Rasmus Dahlin out of your lineup that plays 25 plus minutes a night and has the puck on his stick and he's physical. I mean, he just controls the game. And that's hard to replace, for sure. And he's our leader, And we've certainly been in games where, I think you're looking down the bench and you need that leader. And, the other one who's a big-time leader on this team is Jordan Greenway, and he's obviously out now, but he's also missed some games along the way. So, again, it's not an excuse. You have to find ways to win hockey games, but for sure it's impacted us.
So Sabres and Leafs tonight. One more, Kevin. You've been on both sides of games in this building between these two teams. The Sabres have done very well over the years against Toronto at home, despite the disadvantage of the crowd, the percentage of fans rooting for each side. What is that? Is that anything for you? Like, I remember just lots of games over the years when the Sabres were just sort of like in a so-so state and Toronto comes in all, looking good, and the Sabres just kind of own those games. There have been a lot of those games.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can remember it as a player for sure. I mean, I was on the other side of it and looking up and seeing the jerseys and like, okay, this is awesome, So I can only speak to it from that. But all I can tell you is, we really want to get to a point here where there's never any visiting team jersey in our stands. That we have 18,000 people here with Sabre jerseys on and cheering for us. But we have to hold up our end of the bargain and make our fans proud, and that's what we're going to do.
Good luck tonight, Kevin. Thanks for your time, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you.
All right, that was Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams here as we put a wrap on our post-game show from KeyBank Center. Sabres fall to Toronto 6-3. Boston is Toronto at 7. And again, we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame starting at 6. If you've been listening with us the whole way, we appreciate it. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. All right, Paul and I will be back with you tomorrow at 6 for the pregame, Sabres and Bruins with Dan and Marty on the call. And for now, though, we will step aside and say goodnight here from KeyBank Center. Thank you for listening. I want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you very much, Evan. Tom Maddy, our engineer. Pat Malacaro here anchoring in our game story. Check it out, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton on our reporter in the room, and, of course, the Bulldog on the pregame. For Dan and Rob, I'm Brian Colziel. Everybody have a great rest of your Friday night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow with the Sabres and the Bruins right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.